Well, welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller. Today, we're going to be talking about GMO crops. We're going to be talking with Lucy Charette of the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network in the first half of the show. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about drug-nutrient interactions with Dr. Jonathan Beatty. But before we do that, here's Reg with the health news.
Can't remember that work colleague's name? Misplaced your keys again? Don't fret. A new study finds nearly everyone will suffer more memory lapses as they age, with men being more vulnerable to failing memory than women. The study also reports people's memory skills and brain volume typically decline with age, and surprisingly, the study suggests it seems to have little to do with the buildup of brain plaques that mark Alzheimer's disease. The researchers say their findings challenge a prevailing view on the aging brain. Experts have speculated that when older adults start having memory lapses, it may be a sign of early Alzheimer's disease and likely related to abnormal clumps of a protein called beta amyloid that accumulate in the brain. But the new findings suggest they do not initiate the disease process and instead enter the picture later. Results of the study were published online March 16th in JAMA Neurology. A new Chinese study finds folic acid, the same nutrient women take in pregnancy to help ward off birth defects, may also help lower stroke risk in people with high blood pressure. The new study tracked outcomes of more than 20,000 adults in China with high blood pressure who had not suffered a heart attack or stroke. Participants were randomly assigned to take a daily pill with folic acid and the high blood pressure drug enalapril, or a pill with enalapril alone. Over a median treatment period of 4.5 years, the study found first strokes occurred in 2.7% of those in the enalapril folic acid group and 3.4% of those in the enalapril group. That means the risk of stroke was 21% lower among those taking enalapril folic acid. The study was published March 15th in the Journal of the American Medical Association and presented at a meeting of the American College of Cardiology in San Diego. Depression may increase the risk of poor nutrition and obesity among Americans receiving food assistance, a new study suggests. The researchers looked at more than 600 people who were the main food shoppers in low-income families living in food deserts in Pittsburgh. The term refers to neighborhoods with limited access to healthy foods, such as fresh produce. All of the participants were enrolled in a food assistance program. There was a strong link between depression, poor nutrition, and high body mass index, according to the study in the March 10th issue of the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. However, the research did not prove that depression was a cause of bad eating habits or obesity. And finally, a small study says staying physically active as you age may ward off brain damage that can limit mobility. Small areas of brain damage called white matter hyperintensities are seen in MRI scans of many older patients, according to scientists from Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. Researchers say higher levels of this damage have been linked to difficulty walking and other mobility problems. The study, published March 11th online in the journal Neurology, involved 167 patients over age 80. For the study, the research team had participants wear movement monitors on their wrists for up to 11 days. These devices measured exercise and non-exercise activity. Participants also took 11 tests of movement ability, and researchers used MRI scans to assess the level of white matter hyperintensities in the brain.
Hey, thanks for that, Rich. Well, you might have heard recently that there was a Canadian company that got sold after it got recognized for its GMO apple. Well, our next guest, Lucy Charette of the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network, can tell us all about the risks of genetically modified food. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Tell us, you know, it was the Arctic apple that was recently, you know, the company got sold for, what was it, $20 million or $40 million or something like that, some incredible amount of money for coming up with this apple that doesn't turn color. What are the risks associated with, you know, eating an apple like that? Or are there any?
We don't know if there are any risks from eating the new genetically modified apple. Health Canada has approved it as safe, but we don't see that data. We don't know what science was used to decide that the GM apple is safe. Certainly, we hear from consumers that they just don't want to eat it. It's not a necessary product. It's simply designed to not turn brown after it's sliced. So if people have an issue with the genetically modified apple, that's what this is designed for.
Now, What is it with genetic modification that people should be concerned about?
Well, there's all kinds of different concerns that people have. Certainly, most consumers want mandatory labeling of GM foods so they can decide if they want to eat a genetically modified apple or other genetically modified foods. Some people have a concern about corporate control because this is a technology that allows for the patenting of gene sequences. So corporations can gain a lot of control over seeds. There are environmental concerns about genetically modified crops. These are living organisms that can move around. Once we release them into the environment, we can't recall them. We can't control them. And then a lot of people have mistrust of Health Canada and the regulation that is in place to protect us because the science behind the safety of genetically modified foods is not publicly available. A lot of people don't trust that it's good enough.
Lucy, you know, the Canadian government has been one of the governments, you know, besides the American government, that has really promoted GMO crops, where governments around the world have tended to be a little more cautious and in some cases ban GMO foods. What is it about the Canadian government? Why are we seem to be in bed with these biotechnology companies?
The Canadian government made a very early commitment to supporting biotechnology as a new, exciting industry that would be an economic driver. And so our entire regulatory structure is designed to help products get onto the market. And there's generally this support of the technology inside government. So there's not any consultation with consumers and farmers because that would add time to the process to decide if GM foods are to reach the market and would add uncertainty for companies. So these types of decisions were made many years ago, and now we see, for example, there's no mandatory labeling, even though consumers want it, because the industry doesn't want it, and our government is still supporting the industry above consumer concerns.
Have there been any examples of where GM technology has gone wrong?
Well, GM technology has certainly moved around in the field to places where it's not supposed to go, and this has hurt farmers. For example, there was a genetically modified flax that was developed in Canada that no one expected to be in the fields because it wasn't commercially released, but we did find contamination. Our export markets were shut down, and flax farmers have tried really hard to remove that contamination. So one of the things we know can happen and does happen is contamination, and this is a great concern to organic farmers and to people who eat organic food, because organic farming prohibits the use of genetically modified seeds and genetically modified grains. And that is one of the concerns with the genetically modified apple, is organic apple growers in British Columbia are concerned about possible contamination, and they will be working very hard to stop that. But then the burden is on them to do that work.
Well, that was my next question. Where is the liability, if some GM crop or seed shows up in your field?
The GM crop seed is the property of the company that owns that genetic sequence. And unfortunately, there's no law that establishes liability for the trespass of that property. Farmers have tried to seek contamination for compensation for contamination. Canola growers in Canada tried to establish a class action suit to get money for the contamination that they saw, but they couldn't. So at the moment, even though it seems like a company that owns the seed, owns the genetic sequence, that they should be liable, currently they're not. And it's farmers that bear the burden of trying to stop contamination and then deal with it once it happens, and consumers as well.
So what happens to a farmer, Lucy, if, they have this crop growing, let's say they're growing canola and they get some canola seed in their field and then it starts to grow. What happens to who owns that product?
Well, the company Monsanto says that they do not pursue farmers who don't willingly plant that. So if there's accidental contamination, Monsanto says, well, they'll work with the farmer to try and remove it, as opposed to a farmer who is accused of stealing that seed. But it's very muddy as to how that's established. And in the meantime, there's a lot of fear about farmers finding GM seed that doesn't belong to them in their field. And there have been many court cases where Monsanto has taken farmers to court for having Monsanto seed on their land. And there's also been a lot of discussion about the type of fear that that means in the farming community, where we don't hear about a lot of the court cases that don't happen, where farmers just pay Monsanto without going to court, for example.
Tell us about the story of Percy Smizer.
Well, Percy Smizer went all the way to Supreme Court of Canada. He was challenged by Monsanto for having their GM canola seed in his fields. Ultimately, the court decided that he was using he wasn't using the GM trait, but it was there. He didn't do what he needed to do to remove it himself. So it wasn't a clear-cut case. It didn't help farmers. The outcome of that case did not help farmers. And so there was no helpful resolution from the Percy Smizer case. But it is the example that shows that big companies will take small farmers to court.
We're talking with Lucy Charette. She is from the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about the effects of genetic modification on your food.